Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, so let's dive right into this. Dive into PepsiCo's latest quarterly report.
Sounds good.
It's their 3Q 2024 numbers. And we've got a lot to unpack here. We've got the 10Q filing and the earnings call transcript, so we can really see what's happening behind the scenes at this snack and beverage giant.
Yeah, it's always so interesting to see how these global companies are handling like all the different factors that are at play right now, from, you know, changing consumer habits and economic uncertainties to geopolitical tensions even.
Yeah. And speaking of global tensions, we were talking about this a little bit before, but did you know that Russia makes up a pretty big part of PepsiCo's business?
I did know that. Yeah, it's a significant chunk.
Yeah, so we'll definitely be unpacking that a little bit later.
But
first, let's just take a look at the overall performance this quarter.
Sure. So just from the top level numbers, it looks like they brought in $23.3 billion in revenue, which is actually down just a tiny bit from the same time last year. Operating profit was $3.8 billion. That's down about 4%.
So a slight dip, but maybe not a huge cause for concern.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, on the surface, it doesn't look too bad, but the real story, I think, starts to emerge when you look at how their different divisions are performing.
Right.
Some are doing really well, and some are facing some headwinds.
Okay, I think this is where things get really interesting, because I know, for example, like PepsiCo Beverages North America.
Yes.
Or PB&A. That's actually on track to hit their margin goals and seeing some good growth. But then on the other hand, you've got Frito-Lay North America, FLNA, and they saw a pretty significant drop in their margins.
Right.
So, like, what's going on with those two divisions in particular?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think, you know, before we jump into the specifics, it's helpful just to remember that PepsiCo has seven main divisions in total.
Yeah.
So I've got FLNA, PB&A, of course, Quaker Foods North America, their Latin America division, Europe, a combined Africa, Middle East, and South Asia division, and then finally Asia Pacific, Australia, New Zealand, and China.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is. It's huge.
That really shows you the scale.
Yeah, their global reach is pretty massive.
Okay, so let's zoom in on that Frito-Lay story then.
Okay.
What happened?
All right, so we know they saw a slight dip in revenue, declining unit volume, and of course that margin drop we mentioned.
Right. Yeah.
What's the word from PepsiCo about what's happening there?
Yeah.
Well, the executives on the earnings call were really emphasizing that this was a year of normalization after 3 years of huge pandemic-driven growth.
So basically everyone was stuck at home snacking more.
Yeah.
And now those habits are changing.
Yeah, I think that seems to be a big part of it. You know, people are adjusting to post-pandemic life, dealing with inflation and maybe just feeling less snacky overall.
Right.
But I think it's worth exploring whether this is just a blip or if it's a sign of something more significant.
Yeah.
You know, could this be a sign of like a deeper shift in how we think about snacking as a society?
Hmm. That's a good question.
Yeah.
It makes me think about my own snacking habits.
Oh.
I definitely like stocked up on chips and pretzels back in 2020, but now my pantry looks pretty different. But enough about my snacking. Let's shift over to the beverage side of things.
Okay.
And talk about PB&A success story. What's going on over there?
All right. So over in beverages, they've been seeing margin improvement and growth. Gatorade's been a particularly bright spot. Their market share is up. It seems like they've learned from some past execution issues and are really seeing positive results.
That's great to hear. I mean, it's always good to see a company kind of acknowledge past mistakes and come back stronger. And what about this DSD system re-engineering? I saw that mentioned in some of the materials.
Ah, yes, the direct store delivery system.
Okay.
That's a core part of how they get their drinks onto shelves.
Right.
And it's a huge undertaking for a company as large as PepsiCo, but they seem really committed to making it more efficient and responsive to changing demands.
Yeah, because if your favorite drink isn't on the shelf when you want it, you might just grab a competitor's product instead.
Exactly. And in today's market, where there are so many beverage options, that could make a big difference.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got these two kind of contrasting stories here, right?
Right.
We've got Frito-Lay maybe facing some headwinds and PB&A kind of riding this wave of success.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think are some of the bigger picture trends that are driving these different outcomes?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think, you know, to really understand what's going on, we have to zoom out and look at the broader context.
Okay.
So let's talk about some of the global challenges that PepsiCo is facing, because we know those international operations make up a significant portion of their business and they're facing their own unique set of issues.
Yeah, like we mentioned earlier, that whole Russia situation.
Exactly.
Is definitely a factor.
It's a big one. And, you know, it's impacting both their revenue and their assets. I think the situation really highlights the complexities of operating a global business in a world that's increasingly unpredictable.
For sure.
It's not just about consumer preferences anymore. It's about navigating geopolitical realities as well.
Okay, so we've got this global giant.
Mm-hmm.
We've got shifting consumer trends. We've got geopolitical uncertainty. It's starting to feel a little overwhelming.
It is a lot.
Can we bring it back down to earth for a minute?
Yeah.
And just focus on like the individual consumer?
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, PepsiCo's success hinges on understanding what people want, what they value, and how they're making decisions, and that's you.
Yeah. So what are the execs saying about those consumer needs and desires?
Well, it's not as simple as just offering lower prices.
Right.
You know, they're talking about things like value seeking, but also this idea of permissible indulgence and a desire for positive choices.
Okay, break that down for me.
Yeah.
What does permissible indulgence even mean?
Yeah, so I think it taps into a larger cultural shift towards wellness and mindful consumption.
Okay.
It's not just about eating less or, you know, depriving yourself.
Right.
It's about making choices that align with your values and potentially even make you feel good about yourself.
So it's like, I can enjoy my favorite snacks,
exactly,
but maybe make slightly healthier choices.
Yes, exactly. And this is where I think PepsiCo's strategy gets really interesting.
Oh, right.
Because they're trying to deliver those short-term results while simultaneously investing in these long-term growth drivers that appeal to that more mindful consumer.
Okay, so give me some concrete examples.
Yeah.
How are they putting this into action?
All right. Well, for starters, they're putting a lot of resources into productivity initiatives.
Great.
So think like automation data and digitalization, making that DSD system more efficient, even streamlining their global workforce.
So basically, they're trying to free up resources to invest in new products and experiences by becoming more efficient.
Precisely. And they're not just focusing on the supermarket aisle anymore. They're expanding into new channels like direct-to-consumer e-commerce partnerships with food delivery platforms, even exploring new occasions for consumption, like incorporating snacks into meal solutions rather than just treating them as standalone treats.
Hold on. PepsiCo wants to provide full meals now.
Well, it is a shift, but it makes sense when you think about it.
Okay.
Consumers are already blurring the lines between traditional meals and snacking.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I often find myself grabbing a handful of nuts or a granola bar when I don't have time for a full meal.
Exactly. And PepsiCo is recognizing this trend. And by offering a wider range of products that can be enjoyed as part of a meal, they're tapping into that need for convenience, flexibility, and even a little inspiration in the kitchen.
So they're not necessarily trying to replace those home-cooked dinners, mm-hmm. but just offering more options for those busy nights.
Right. And by offering healthier and more permissible options, they're trying to appeal to that desire for wellness and mindful eating that we were talking about.
This is all making sense, but let's not forget about their core beverage business. What are they doing to kind of stay competitive and innovative in that space?
So we already touched on their efforts to improve that DSD system, but they're also investing heavily in new product development and marketing to keep their brands fresh and exciting.
Right.
Think about the rise of functional beverages, flavored sparkling waters, ready-to-drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
PepsiCo needs to have a presence in those segments to capture a share of that growing market.
Yeah, it's a tough balancing act, isn't it?
It is.
Like, they need to support those core products.
Right.
But also invest in these new ventures and keep up with these trends.
It is, and it requires long-term vision and adaptability. One thing that really struck me from the earnings call was how much the executives emphasized their commitment to understanding and meeting the needs of a diverse consumer base.
Yeah, because a one-size-fits-all approach doesn't really work in today's world.
No, not at all.
Different regions,
yeah.
Different demographics, different lifestyles.
Right.
Everyone has their own preferences.
Right. Exactly. And PepsiCo needs to be aware of those nuances they're talking about, tailoring their products and marketing to specific consumer groups using data and analytics to identify those unmet needs and emerging trends.
It seems like that ability to adapt is going to be pretty crucial for their future success.
Oh, I think so.
What about the potential risks, though?
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges that they need to be aware of?
Well, one obvious challenge is just the economic climate. You know, with inflation and potential recessions, looming consumers may be more price conscious and less likely to spend on things like snacks and drinks.
Yeah. So they need to find that sweet spot between profitability and offering value to the consumer.
Yeah, exactly. It's a tricky situation. And they can't forget about the competition.
Right.
The food and beverage industry is constantly evolving with new players emerging and established companies vying for market share.
Mm.
PepsiCo can't afford to become complacent.
Especially with all these like new brands popping up and attracting attention with their, you know, innovative products and marketing and stuff.
Exactly. They need to stay agile, experiment, and be willing to challenge their own traditional ways of doing things.
I'm curious about how they're handling the whole geopolitical situation, especially their presence in places like Russia.
Yeah, that's a complex issue. No doubt, they need to balance their business interests with ethical considerations, which is never easy.
Yeah.
They'll need to think carefully about the potential impact of their decisions, both on their bottom line and on their reputation as a global company.
This reminds me of that point about global minimum taxes.
Yeah.
How is that impacting PepsiCo's financial strategy?
Yeah, that's adding another layer of complexity, especially for a company that operates in so many different countries.
Right.
You know, they have to navigate a whole web of tax regulations,
yeah,
which can affect their profitability and influence where they choose to invest.
It's like this giant game of financial chess with all these moving pieces and strategic considerations.
It is.
It's a lot to keep track of.
It is a lot to keep track of. But I think the key takeaway here is that PepsiCo is operating in a really dynamic and complex environment. Mm-hmm.
There are definitely challenges and uncertainties ahead, but they're also embracing opportunities and making strategic bets on the future.
Okay, so what does all this mean for the average consumer?
Well, for one, it means you're likely to see continued innovation in the food and beverage aisle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, PepsiCo is constantly experimenting with new products, flavors, and formats to try to capture your attention and appeal to your evolving tastes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're investing in making those products more accessible and convenient,
mm-hmm,
whether that's through online ordering home delivery or expanding into new channels like convenience stores.
So more options, more convenience, and hopefully more delicious snacks and drinks.
That's the idea, but it also means you have a role to play.
Okay.
You know, as a consumer, your choices matter.
Okay.
By supporting brands and products that align with your values, whether that's healthier options, mm-hmm, sustainable practices, or even just products that you enjoy,
mm-hmm,
you can influence the direction of the industry and help shape the future of food.
So it's not just PepsiCo trying to figure out what we want.
Right.
We can also influence their decisions. Exactly.
Through the choices we make.
It's a dynamic and constantly evolving relationship, and that's what makes it so fascinating. It's not just about numbers. It's about the interplay between a global company consumer trends and the decisions we make every day.
Now I'm starting to see the bigger picture.
Good.
But before we wrap up, I want to circle back to that idea of positive choices.
Mm.
What does that really mean in practice?
Yeah.
And how is PepsiCo trying to deliver on that promise?
That's a great question. And honestly, I think it's one that PepsiCo is still trying to figure out.
Okay.
It's easy to talk about positive choices, but it's much harder to define what that actually means, especially for a company that built its reputation on sugary drinks and salty snacks.
Yeah, because those aren't the first things that come to mind when you think about like healthy and sustainable eating.
Exactly. So PepsiCo is facing a real challenge.
Yeah.
How do they reconcile their legacy with their aspirations for a more positive future? And I think they're attempting to do this in a few ways. First, by investing in healthier product lines like those offered by Cité Family Foods or their Simply range of snacks and drinks.
What?
They're also reformulating some of their existing products to reduce sugar, sodium, saturated fat.
So it's like they're trying to make those classic products a little bit better for you while also expanding into new categories that are inherently healthier.
Right. But it's not just about the ingredients. It's mm-hmm. also about transparency and sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, consumers want to know where their food comes from, how it's produced, and what impact it has on the environment.
So things like ethical sourcing, reducing their carbon footprint, using more sustainable packaging.
Exactly. All of these things are becoming crucial factors for companies like PepsiCo if they want to stay relevant and maintain consumer trust.
Right.
They're investing in initiatives to reduce their environmental impact, support local communities, and even promote diversity and inclusion within their own workforce.
So it sounds like they're working to become a more responsible corporate citizen, both internally and externally.
Precisely. And that's a positive development.
Yeah.
It means they're realizing that their success is interconnected with the well-being of their employees, the communities they operate in, and the planet as a whole.
I'm getting like a much more holistic view of PepsiCo now. It's not just about selling snacks and drinks.
Right.
It's about trying to make a positive impact.
And that's what makes it so interesting. It's a story that's still unfolding and there's a lot at stake. Will they be able to navigate these complex challenges and become a leader in this new era of conscious consumption? Only time will tell.
I guess we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out.
We will.
All right, so we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive.
We have.
We've talked about the financial performance,
mm-hmm.
the challenges and opportunities,
yeah.
and even the bigger picture trends that are shaping the food and beverage industry.
Absolutely. And I think in the next part, we can dive even deeper into some of those specific strategies that PepsiCo is using.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. So, you know, as we've been discussing PepsiCo's performance and strategy, it's become clear that they're not just reacting to market changes. They're trying to proactively shape the market itself.
Absolutely. And I think what's so fascinating to me is how PepsiCo is leveraging its scale and resources not just to follow trends, but to actually drive them.
Right.
So give me some concrete examples of how they're doing that.
Well, take their push into positive choices, for example.
Okay.
It's not simply about offering healthier snacks. It's about shifting the entire conversation around what constitutes a good or responsible food choice.
So they're using their marketing power to influence our perceptions and habits.
In a way, yes, but I wouldn't necessarily call it manipulative.
Yeah.
They're tapping into those existing consumer desires for wellness and sustainability and amplifying those voices.
Because they recognize that's where the market is headed.
Right.
And they want to be seen as leaders in that space.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They're betting that by aligning their brand with these values, they'll attract those newer generations of consumers who are more discerning and purpose-driven in their choices.
But it's a risky strategy, isn't it?
It is.
What if consumers see right through it?
Right.
What if they see it as inauthentic or just a marketing ploy?
There's always that risk, especially for a company with a legacy like PepsiCo's.
Right.
But they're trying to mitigate that risk by taking concrete actions to back up their claims.
Okay.
They're investing in research and development, partnering with credible organizations, and even advocating for policy changes that support a more sustainable food system.
So it's not just talk. They're actually putting in the work.
That's the sense I get from the information we have.
Okay.
They seem to understand that actions speak louder than words.
It's pretty amazing to see how a company this large can adapt and evolve, especially in a world that's changing so rapidly.
It is.
What do you think is the biggest challenge they face moving forward?
I think the biggest challenge is going to be staying ahead of the curve. Consumer tastes are constantly changing. What's popular today might be old news tomorrow.
It's like they say, what got you here won't get you there.
Exactly. PepsiCo needs to be constantly innovating, experimenting, and be willing to disrupt its own business model if necessary.
That's definitely easier said than done for a company with such a massive global infrastructure and established ways of doing things.
Absolutely. It requires a certain level of agility and a willingness to take calculated risks.
And it also requires that deep understanding of diverse consumer needs that we discussed earlier, right?
Definitely. They need to be attuned to the cultural nuances and preferences of different regions and demographics and tailor their products and marketing accordingly.
This whole deep dive has really been eye-opening. It's given me a much better understanding of the complexities of the food and beverage industry.
Yeah.
It's not just about selling products. It's about understanding consumers, anticipating trends, and navigating a constantly shifting landscape.
And at the end of the day, it's about creating value, not just for shareholders, but for consumers, employees, and the planet as a whole.
Well said. I think we've covered a lot of ground here, and I'm definitely leaving with a deeper appreciation for the challenges and opportunities facing PepsiCo and the industry in general. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I'd encourage everyone to think critically about the choices you make as consumers, where you spend your money, what brands you support, and what values you prioritize. Your choices have power, and you can influence the direction of the market toward a more sustainable and equitable future.
That's great advice. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive into the world of PepsiCo. I'm feeling both informed and inspired to make more conscious choices in my own life.
It's been a pleasure unpacking all this information with you, and hopefully our listeners feel empowered to continue exploring these topics on their own.
All right, folks, that wraps up our deep dive into PepsiCo's 3Q 2024. We encourage you to take a look at the source materials yourself and see what insights you can find until next time.
So, you know, picking up where we left off, it seems like one of the biggest things we're seeing is this kind of shift in how PepsiCo is approaching the market.
Right. It's not just about reacting to changes anymore.
Yeah. It's about trying to shape the future of the market.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really interesting and kind of ambitious goal.
Definitely.
Especially for a company as large and established as PepsiCo. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how they're actually going about doing that.
Well, I think one of the most striking examples is their emphasis on positive choices. You know, it's not simply about offering healthier snacks. It's about trying to redefine what it means to make a good or responsible food choice.
Okay, so they're using their marketing power to kind of influence our perceptions and habits.
In a way, yes, but I wouldn't necessarily call it manipulative.
Okay.
I think they're tapping into these existing consumer desires for things like wellness and sustainability, and they're trying to amplify those voices.
Because they recognize that's where the market is headed, and they want to be seen as leaders in that space.
Exactly. They're betting that by aligning their brand with these values, they can attract those newer generations of consumers who are more discerning and purpose-driven.
But that's a risky strategy, isn't it?
It is. There's definitely a risk.
What if consumers see right through it? What if they see it as inauthentic or just a marketing ploy?
There's always that risk, especially for a company with a legacy like PepsiCo's. But I think they're trying to mitigate that risk by taking concrete actions to back up their claims.
Okay, so what kind of actions are we talking about?
Well, they're investing in research and development, partnering with credible organizations, and even advocating for policy changes that support a more sustainable food system.
So it's not just talk. They're actually putting their money where their mouth is.
Yeah, that's the sense I get. They seem to understand that actions speak louder than words.
It's really impressive to see how a company this large is adapting and evolving.
It is.
Especially in a world that's changing so rapidly.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think is the biggest challenge facing them moving forward?
That's a tough one. I think one of the biggest challenges is going to be staying ahead of the curve. Consumer tastes are constantly changing. What's popular today might be old news tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like they say, what got you here won't get you there.
Exactly. PepsiCo needs to constantly be innovating, experimenting, and even be willing to disrupt its own business model if necessary.
And that's definitely easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially for a company with such a massive global infrastructure and established ways of doing things.
It requires a certain level of agility and a willingness to take risks.
And it also requires that deep understanding of diverse consumer needs that we talked about earlier, right?
Definitely. They need to be in tune with the cultural nuances and preferences of different regions and demographics and tailor their products and marketing accordingly.
This whole deep dive has been really eye-opening for me. I feel like I have a much better understanding of the complexities of the food and beverage industry now.
Yeah, me too.
It's not just about selling products. It's about understanding consumers, anticipating trends, and navigating a constantly shifting landscape.
And ultimately, it's about creating value, not just for shareholders, but for consumers, employees, and the planet as a whole.
Well said. I think we've covered a lot of ground today, and I'm definitely leaving with a deeper appreciation for the challenges and opportunities facing PepsiCo and the industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts you want to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I think I would just encourage everyone to think critically about the choices you make as consumers, where you spend your money, what brands you support, and what values you prioritize, because your choices have power and you can influence the direction of the market towards a more sustainable and equitable future.
That's great advice. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive into the world of PepsiCo. I'm feeling both informed and inspired.
Thanks for having me.
To make more conscious choices in my own life.
It's been a pleasure unpacking all this information with you.
All right, folks, that wraps up our deep dive into PepsiCo's third quarter 2024 results. We hope you found it insightful, and we encourage you to check out the source materials for yourselves. Until next time.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.